Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Johnny Lennon and the Fab Four here on a Wednesday morning. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be all right? Do you think that the animus that people feel in the country for the president, those that feel that, right? So we're talking about the one-third, right? So one-third of the nation skews left. One-third of the nation skews right. And one-third sits in the middle. And they elect the president. Okay, so do you think that the animus that some of that one-third in the middle feels for Donald Trump is enough to override Joe Biden? And that's going to be interesting to watch, right? Joe Biden, who the nation has passed on how many times? And I just heard somebody roll out something yesterday that got heard in, I don't know when the hell it was. Was it the last time he ran for office? That Joe Biden has been on the wrong side of what? Every foreign policy decision for the last 40 or 50 years. And I remember hearing that before. And I chuckle. So him safely ensconced away in his basement, right? And then he went up to Pennsylvania the other day, and he took no questions, right? Made a statement, and then he, you know. And you're just watching this. It's like, do they think they can get Joe Biden elected purely on the hatred of Donald Trump, and he's not going to have to come out of the basement? He's not going to have to stand to take he's not going to have to stand and take questions. And it's interesting to watch. We'll see. At some point, I think he has to, right? And he's just a machine. And so what happens to the middle third? And he's got this dance to do with the Bernie, with all the Bernie people, right? If he's not liberal enough, right, as I'm sure he's promised them that he will be, if he's not that guy, they're going to depart the pattern. So Joe Biden, does he sleep at night? He must. He's 80-something years old, right? He's got, I hope he does. But it's moderately amusing to watch that here's a guy running for the office of president who doesn't go out in public so much. And when he does, I mean, incredibly choreographed, as opposed to the president who's like, the choreography of that. I will say this, relative to the spring when he seemed, you know, I mean, the president gets out on his over his skis and makes what I call unforced errors. Like, and again, renaming Confederate bases, is that a hill to die on? Does anybody give a shit about that? Do the people that care about that issue, are they not going to vote for him? No. They're so far right. It's a joke. So why run people in the middle third off? But he seems to, you know, it's like he cannot help himself. So anyway, And so I've got some interesting audio I was going to talk about. Somebody sent me an email about when does it, you know, when do people who want to see the video of post-traumatic winning, when does that happen? Well, here's what's happened with that. So I felt a need to make a version of it, partly for learning, and then partly so people like Bob Nielsen and who supported it for a long time could see it. And there's a whole list of other people that are on that list as well. So anyway, I felt the need to do that. In so doing, though, I realized that there's a number of, you know, a number of flaws. So before I did the fifth part, I was listening and editing the fourth part. And so, and I was listening to it, and it didn't sound to me like the way I do it in, when I do it live. It sounded like to me that I was like presenting it, which is not normally how I do it. I normally rip it. But anyway, so I think the fifth part, and somebody sent me an email about it yesterday. The fifth part sounded more like you. So anyway, what I have to do, the next phase of all this video production that I'm learning, is I kind of have a blueprint now, and I kind of have a base product. But what has to happen is I've got to create a kind of a picture in a picture thing. So the picture in the picture would alternate between kind of two screens. So one picture would be me talking and presenting it, right? And that would be either the full screen or small screen. And so when I need the slide to be the big screen, my screen would be minimized. When I need me to be maximized, then it would invert, like that kind of thing. So that's the next thing, and that would be me actually performing post-traumatic winning, which is different than me kind of presenting it, if you understand that. So, and I think there's a big difference. And you can hear it in my voice. And I heard it last week. So anyway, so I've got it. That will be the next version. But right now what I'm doing is I'm going through and making sure everything that I noted as I reviewed it gets corrected. And then things that should be in there, get in there. I mentioned things that I should probably show, right? And so I mentioned, like, General Neller talks about I asked him if you could give, in one of the interviews I did with him when he was commandant, I said, if you could give Marines one piece of advice, what would it be? And he said, stop drinking. And I expressed my surprise. And then he said, if you could see what I see on a daily basis, Mac, you wouldn't say that. So, anyhow, the, instead of referring to that, I should play that. You know what I'm saying? I talk about a message that somebody sent me from 2nd Marine Air Wing saying that, holy shit, we just got a brief from the IG team and they were crazy about what's going on here relative to mental health. And sent me, you know, some stuff. Well, I should show that, but I got to go dig it up. So I'm in the process of making it even denser than it already is. Right, post-traumatic winning's like uranium. It's like depleted uranium. It is like dense with stuff. So anyway, so that's just an aside. So I'm deep in video making and learning that. So, to answer the question, when will the general public get to take a look at it? I don't know. So here's the plan. The plan is that I'll finish the video and I'll have that. I got contacted by the National Museum of the Marine Corps yesterday. They saw me do this in Quantico, came up to me afterwards, introduced themselves and said, we would like to talk to you about this. And I said, okay, I'd love to. And they said, you know, we believe that the conversation went like, we believe that when we open our Iraq and Afghanistan exhibits, they're pretty real, right? The streets in Iraq, and we're and we'd like to present something about mental health, and we think that your approach to it is really good. And I said, I'd love to. So you, lo and behold, yesterday I got an email from them saying, hey, we've been closed. We've been closed and we haven't forgotten. And I said, well, I think about that conversation, you know, on a fairly regular basis. And I wonder what happened. Because sometimes people go home and to their units and they say, hey, McNamara. And somebody says, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to get on that train. And then the answer is, okay, never mind. So anyhow, yeah, that's exciting. So I'm going to talk to them here pretty soon. But anyway, the pattern of this will be, I have to finish editing this video, and I'm not sure if I'll do the kind of performance version of it, but because for that, I think I need a studio, and I can either build one in my garage to do it. And that would be kind of the first version of it before I would do it, have it, you know, pay to have it professionally done. And then I got to finish the book. So the video thing I want to finish pretty quickly because I need to finish the book. And I want to finish the book within a month. Yeah, how about that? So then the book would be out. The video and the book would be kind of a part of a package that you would, you know, if you bought the book for whatever, and it's not going to be expensive, for 10, 15, 20 bucks, whatever the hell it is, for $19.99. You would get access to not only the book, but the video, blah, 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 blah. So I'm trying to be a businessman here. So that's going on. Somebody emailed me this. Somebody mentioned this to me late last week. And then I don't know what got on my radar, but what I'm going to play for you is, it's kind of hilarious. But it's a frank exchange that happens in public, and you honestly, you don't see it happen very often like this, where people who take an oath of allegiance to the country, where they kind of publicly click off safe. Does that make sense? So what you're going to hear is Vice President Pence's national security advisor. Now, he's been in that job since. He's not one of these people that have come in late, because Pence, very much in keeping with his personality, seems to be like a solid guy. Now, you may like him, you may hate him, but he is what he is, and that's what he is. And doesn't apologize for it. And so the people that he would hire, I think, would be very much just of the same bolt of cloth. So this is retired Army Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg. He's He's Vice President Pence's father of a Marine, I might add. He's Vice President Pence's National Security Advisor. Now, let me just read a little bit about this. I just want to give you this guy's background. So you'll know that he's nobody to be, you know, he's nobody to be trifled with. Born on May 12, 1944. Retired from the United States Army as a 3-star, that would be a lieutenant general. He had previously served as the executive secretary and chief of staff of the United Nations National Security Council during the Trump administration. He served the president, Trump, as a national security advisor after the resignation of Michael Flynn. All right, born in Dayton, Ohio. Gets his diploma in 1961 from Long Beach Poly High School. Commissioned through the ROTC program at Santa Clara University as an infantry officer. During the Vietnam War, he served in the 101st Airborne. And after qualifying as a special forces officer, served in Cambodia with the Cambodian Army. Earned a Silver Star, Bronze Star with the Combat V, Air Medal with a V device. He also commanded 3rd Brigade, 7th Infantry Division during Operation Just Cause, which was the invasion of Panama. In 1980, commanded the 1st Battalion, the 504th Parachute Infantry Regiment, right? Band of Brothers, that kind of stuff, I think. 504th. During Operation Desert Storm, Desert Shield, he served as the Chief of Staff of the 82nd Airborne. He was in the Pentagon on September 11th. He assumed responsibility for the alternate command post at Raven Rock Mountain Complex with United States Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul Wolfowitz. From December of 2003 to 2004, he held a leading position in the Coalition Provisional Authority. He was asked to serve as the Chief Operating Officer for the Coalition Provisional Authority in Baghdad as it transitioned to the Iraqi government. During his time, Kellogg had a reputation as an expediter known as cutting through red tape. Following his retirement from active duty, he joined Oracle as an advisor on Homeland Security. He was recently employed by the Cubic Corporation since January of 2005. He is the second oldest of four. His brother Mike Kellogg is a Los Angeles County Superior Court judge. His sister Kathy is a former actress, now a clinical psychologist. Younger brother Jeff, former Long Beach City Councilman, also served as the president of the Long Beach Community College District Board of Trustees. He married his wife Paige in 1980. She is a former U.S. Army officer and a paratrooper who served during the 1983 invasion of Grenada. How about that? Anyway, so you can see this guy's no bullshit, right? All right, so I want you to listen to this. It's hilarious. Now, it's not hilarious. It's hilarious in its in his directness, okay? So listen to this. If you didn't hear this before, this is priceless. If I can make it work. It's on Brett Baer's nightly newscast from, I don't know, a week or so ago. Let me refresh the page and pray I don't. Okay, here he is.
One of last night's guests at the Republican convention was retired Army General Keith Kellogg, the National Security Advisor to Vice President Pence. He joins us tonight from the North Lawn. General, thanks for being here.
Brett, thanks for having me.
I want to talk about your speech last night, what you touched on. You essentially said that this president has made the right choices when faced with difficult decisions. There are many people who question that. You said you've been in the room each time.
That's correct. Yeah, Brett, look, this is an election on contrasts. And I think the contrast as Commander-in-Chief between Joe Biden and President Trump is significant. Look, let's just go down a couple of them right now. Joe Biden and the Obama administration let ISIS grow to the size, geographically, the size of Great Britain. They had a terrorist master in Abu al-Baghdadi running it. He let our military atrophy going forward. They allowed Syria to use chemical weapons, sarin nerve gas, against its citizens after they said very, very clearly that that was a red line they would not let the Syrians cross as it went forward. And you had a Secretary of Defense from the Obama administration, Secretary Gates, say that in public and in his book, that Joe Biden has been nearly wrong on every major national security decision in the last 40 years. And I think that's true. And when you look at what we have done, we reacted when Assad used sarin nerve gas against its citizens. We reacted. This president eliminated the ISIS caliphate. killed al-Baghdadi in an operation called Operation Kayla, named after an American woman that he had killed, Kayla Mueller. He's let the military grow significantly going forward. But look, here's the one that is not really mentioned, and I think this one is pretty important. When one of the most critical decisions made in the Obama administration was to go after the architect of 9/11, Osama bin Laden, after they had found him, the individual in the room that recommended that operation not take place was Joe Biden. And our president has gone after Baghdadi. He went after Soleimani, got him. Soleimani, the same individual from Iran, who had been a mastermind on killing hundreds of American servicemen in Iraq. So I think the contrasts are quite clear. And I am very, very proud of our record compared to his.
You know, you said in the speech, I know leadership, I know decision making, and I've seen the response to that. You also said that I have been in the room where it happened,
right.
A clear kind of veiled reference to John Bolton's book named The Room Where It Happened. The former National Security Advisor on decisions told me this.
The point is not what he believes when he signs the particular legislation or what he says when he's dealing with the Chinese. It's that he doesn't particularly believe any of it longer than it takes to get past the day he's dealing with it.
And you've heard those interviews, General, and you've heard him out and about in the book. Is he lying about all that?
Yeah, he is. Brett, his comments are absurd. I have been in the room a lot longer than he has. I have been with the president ever since he came in to the White House. I have been with him through Mike Flynn as a national security advisor, H.R. McMaster. I've been through him with John Bolton and Robert O'Brien, who I believe happens to be the best national security advisor this president has had. John Bolton, I believe, is actually an architect of failure. He had his own agenda. He pushed his own agenda. And when it didn't work, he tried to basically either stifle the discussion going forward or lie to the president of the United States. I was in there when it happened. I saw him when he fabricated information that nearly caused us to commence military operations in Iran because of a loss of a drone that we knew he had incorrect information, and he passed that incorrect information to the president. I saw him on several occasions do that. I saw John Bolton single-handedly destroy Afghan negotiations a year ago up at Bedminster after we thought we had the Afghan negotiations on track, and he happened to just ruin them. And I was there in the room when it happened. So is John Bolton a liar? Yeah, he is. He also is thinking out things about John Bolton before he thinks about anybody else. So,
Lieutenant,
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to wrap you up here. I've got to run, but it's another night, the wrap-up night.
How about that? Right? How about that? That's where I heard the comment. Biden's been on the Gates initially, which is interesting, right? Gates initially, and then, you know, he echoes it. Been on the wrong side of every foreign policy decision in the last 40 years. Nearly every foreign policy decision. But what he says about Bolton, right? Yikes. Straight up calls him a liar and a fabricator. And you've heard his track record as a leader, as a general officer, whatnot. So anyway, I just thought you don't see people click off safe like that in public, no less. So on a Tuesday morning, I'll tell you what we're going to do today. Chris Woodbridge from the Marine Corps Gazette, he's going to join us. So that'll be exciting. So we'll talk to Woody. Haven't done that in a couple months. So we'll ask Woody some current events questions. Get his thoughts on the continuing leadership saga that is the United States Navy. I don't know. There's some other stuff that's out today that we'll talk about, and we'll tee up for him. And then this month is the intelligence issue of Marine Corps Gazette. So so on a Tuesday morning, I'm trying to remember what day of the week it is. Good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Chris Woodbridge will join us. Oh, just in. Wall Street Journal reports. Putin critic Alexei Navalny was poisoned with nerve agent Novichok, Germany said. Evidence that the attack could have been carried out by Russian agents. Now, unless I'm mistaken, that's the same agent that was used in the UK, wasn't it? When they smeared that shit all over the town. I mean, the Russians are idiots. And they're like, what was the headline yesterday or the day before? You know, they're flying jets close to our jets. Yeah, and then they smashed an armored personnel carrier, sideswiped one of ours. Or, come on, it's the Russians, right? They're barely human, for God's sakes. So, yeah, rolling around the planet, poisoning, continuing to poison people. So how about that? Got that going for you. Anyway, good morning to you. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Dedicated to General Kellogg for letting it rip on John Bolton. Now, Bolton, man, he's how will the world judge John Bolton? You know, he's a conservative. He's a hawk on American, you know, international affairs. But you know, there's a problem with guys like Bolton, and that you can't convert that to reality. And how will the world judge him? How will the world judge him? So this is dedicated to General Kellogg. Congratulations on a refreshing piece of candor in a world that doesn't believe so much in the truth anymore.
Our flags on earth. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans,
oh shit,
ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
That's an old version of that. I've shortened that thing a little bit, and you tend not to hear John Kennedy in it anymore. Ask so, my fellow Americans. That would get you laughed right out of the building now. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you could do for your country. Very much given in the shadow of World War II and the Korean War, and right, the greatest generation paying attention. And all that made sense to them. Now, if you stood up and said that, and nobody had ever heard that. You said, your speechwriter said this to you. First of all, it would never make the speech, right? Like, yeah, that's not going to apply. Right? How pathetic is that? It's awful, man. Absolutely awful. All right, time for us to check the weather. And there's a whole bunch of stuff in the news, so we'll take a break and then we'll check news headlines. Currently, in Northern Virginia, in Quantico, it is partly sunny and 81. Down the coast at Camp Lejeune, partly sunny and 89. 29 Palms, sun and 84. It's supposed to get hot out here over the weekend. Camp Pendleton, sunny and 66. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy, 72. Okinawa, only two weather warnings as that typhoon missed Okinawa. We've been tracking it because that's what we do here. Dark cloudy in 82 in Okinawa, so pretty normal. Evening, clear in 82 in South Central Afghanistan. And in the Al-Anbar province of Ramadi. And the country's getting ready to unass Iraq. Going to be down to 3,500 military personnel in Iraq soon. Evening, clear in 106 at the home of Auburn Radio, Costa Mesa, California. Partly sunny in 66. Looking for a high today of 74, 77 tomorrow, 82 on Friday, 91 on Saturday, 94 on Sunday. What in the hell is that? I thought we were done with this. Huh? I thought we were done with this. Okay, 94 on Sunday, Monday 84. And then we slowly get back in. 84 is fine. Slowly get back into the low 80s and the 70s. What in God's name? All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk weather at the top of the hour. Right after the top of the hour, Chris Woodbridge of the Marine Corps Gazette. He will join us. So don't touch that dial. More of this fine program next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis. But sometimes, reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hey, yeah, yeah. To the news we go. Here on a Tuesday, the second day of September, fall upon us. Back to school, kind of. Or back to Zooming, more likely. And that as the nation figures out how the hell do you, how do you learn how to live with this stuff? So, anyway, going to be interesting changes, though, to the economy when this is all over. Is going to work ever going to be a 9-to-5 job again? 8-to-5, whatever. Or will it be, you know, you work from home 3 days a week, come in the office on 2 days, drastically reduce our office footprint, reduce our costs, blah, 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 blah. And your inability to be productive and be independent means you can't stay employed with us. How about that? Self-discipline going to be more important in life than ever? Think so. Uh-oh. We hate that. Love came to town. Minutes after the hour, and to the news we go. Yeah, it'll be interesting because the business place is going to change. And, you know, people are commuting to and from the Pentagon in D.C., and there's not nearly as much traffic. Do all those people need to go to one spot? Is that a thing of the past? So anyhow, to the news we go. The commanding general at Fort Hood has been replaced. His name is Major General Scott Eflant. He was scheduled to take command of the 1st Armored Division this summer, but instead he'll stay at Fort Hood as the deputy commander until all investigations stemming from Specialist Vanessa Guillen's death are complete. Fort Hood very much in the news. High-profile murders. An arrest was just made in the murder of a man who walked into an apartment and shot, I think, a soldier, his wife. I'm not sure if she was a soldier or not. And another friend who I think was a soldier. Specialist Vanessa Guillen, she was being sexually harassed. I think she had been sexually assaulted, and she went missing. The soldier who killed her then commits suicide. And then last week, a male soldier who was in the sexual assault program, having been a victim, hung himself. So the Army taking action and freezing the status of Major General Scott Eflin. A couple of stories I would tell you about. Pentagon report. China has the most ships, wants more nukes as it plans to expand its military around the world. We'll get to that in a different article. U.S. bases on Okinawa escape powerful typhoon Maysak with no serious damage or injuries. How about that? So that's a good news story. Camp Foster aboard Okinawa. That's a Marine base, just so you know. Typhoon Maysak came and went this week, punching Okinawa with gusts of winds as high as 101 miles an hour, but leaving only minor damage to U.S. bases and no injuries behind. So how about that? That in the news, so congratulations to everybody on Okinawa. Pioneering Black Marine veteran of Iwo Jima honored on his 95th birthday. A 95-year-old veteran who was one of the nation's first Black American U.S. Marines received a medal and a car parade from the New York Senate as a birthday present. The recognition was long overdue for Ambrose Cowboy Anderson of Gloversville, New York, said in a statement by State Senator Tim Tedesco, who on Friday presented him with the New York State Liberty Medal, one of the state's highest honors for service and valor. Anderson served during World War II. After joining the Marine Corps in 1943, he was assigned to the segregated Camp Munford Point in Jacksonville, North Carolina, where many Black Marines endured prejudice and racism, the statement said. While in training, Anderson served under a racist captain, and white military personnel would say that Black service members had tails like monkeys, he said in an interview with the Albany Times in 2011. Anderson later survived Japanese kamikaze attacks while en route to the island of Iwo Jima. He held ammunition and supplies to infantry units while under fire during the Battle of Iwo Jima, the battle which resulted in the American capture of the island and the airfields left about 25,000 Marine casualties, 7,000 of those killed in action, as well as an estimated 18,000 Japanese dead, according to U.S. figures. So when the war ended, Anderson, a corporal, served in Japan during the U.S. occupation. During the ensuing peace, Black Marines were forced to leave Navy ships from the rear. Anderson told the Times Union, adding he still had bitter feelings about his time in the service. He and other Montford Point Marines have since received the Congressional Gold Medal after it was authorized in 2011. Quote, unfortunately, Corporal Anderson and many of the African Americans who served at the time experienced racism and discrimination and did not get the recognition he and his colleagues deserved, Tedesco said in a statement. I'm proud and honored to help rectify that in some way with this long overdue heartfelt recognition by the state of New York for Ambrose Anderson's courageous service. In an interview with Albany's ABC affiliate, Anderson said that despite the hardships he faced, he would do it all again. So a picture of him standing up with his one of those walking wheelchairs. He's got a Marine Corps flag in plastic on the front, of it. He's got his Marine Corps hat on. And congratulations to him. A couple of headlines from the three headlines from the Wall Street Journal. U.S. debt set to exceed the size of the economy for a year, which is the first time that's happened since World War II. Yeah, how about that? That's not a good thing. U.S. government debt is on track to exceed the size of the economy for the 12 months ended September 30th, a milestone not hit since World War II that has been brought into reach by a giant fiscal response to the coronavirus pandemic. The Congressional Budget Office is expected to report tomorrow that federal debt held by the public is projected to reach or exceed 100% of U.S. gross domestic product, the broadest measure of U.S. economic output. That would put the U.S. in the company of a handful of nations with debt loads that exceeds their economies, including Japan, Italy, and Greece, though investors remain unfazed by the rising red ink. Yeah, we ain't Greece and we ain't Italy, but still, no bueno. As a sign of the times, Macy's posts a $341 million loss as stores continue their recovery. So these would be stores that have a low footprint, right, in the e-commerce sector and a heavy footprint in the storefront. The retailer reported $3.6 billion in sales, up from $3 billion the previous quarter, but nearly $2 billion less than the company recorded in the second quarter of 2019. Sales of apparel have remained sluggish as more people continue to work from home, and back-to-school season has gotten off to a slow start. So it could not be worse news for retailers, right? No back-to-school. So no back-to-school clothes? Yikes. So, not getting any better. Another headline. COVID-19 deaths significantly reduced by steroids, analysts say. Studies involving 1,700 patients showed consistent benefits from corticosteroid treatment, raising hopes that cheap drugs can help treat severe cases. Interesting. A new analysis of several studies in which steroid drugs were used to treat severely ill COVID-19 patients found the drugs significantly helped reduce patient deaths, bolstering early preliminary evidence for the benefit of these medications. In multiple studies involving a total of 1,700 patients, a number of corticosteroids anti-inflammatory drugs that can damp the effect of an overactive immune system helped reduce deaths from COVID-19 by about a third compared with patients who didn't receive the steroids, according to the analysis published Wednesday in the Journal of American Medical Association. So, interesting. So, chipping away at it. I mentioned yesterday, report to Congress on the Navy light amphibious warship, but the link to the report says, yeah, it's in the DOD cloud and you don't have access to that. Nice. I thought I'd report that to you. It's from USNI News. Pentagon report, China now has the world's largest Navy and Beijing intends to expand its military influence around the world. China is bent on creating world-class military that can conduct joint operations across the globe and already boasts the world's largest navy, according to the Pentagon's latest annual assessment of the Chinese military. Quote, a permanent condition of military inferiority is anathema to China's leadership, and nowhere is it more obvious than in its naval buildup. According to Chad Zarabga, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Defense for China, said during a Tuesday American Enterprise Institute forum, the Chinese Communist Party has, quote, become increasingly confident of achieving its goal of having a world-class military by 2049. A key component has been China's continuing maritime buildup from its surface force to ballistic missile submarines. He said its fleet numbers 350 warships compared to the United States' 293. I would also draw your attention to weapon systems, and it's important to highlight the Chinese shipbuilding advantages in terms of size of the fleet is both in context of a broader modernization ambitions, virtual class military. This is a long-term challenge, and it's not only demarcated by a single variable, which would be total number of vessels, tonnage capacity, capabilities, location, posture, activities, and then other aspects, he told a small group of reporters at a Pentagon briefing. Zarabiga says the Pentagon expects the Chinese fleet will number 360 warships by the end of the decade. 360 by the end of this decade? What the hell? They're at 350 right now. Didn't he say that earlier? So they're going to add 10? Somewhere that's a typo. So there's a report. Military security developments involving the People's Republic of China, which is an annual report to Congress. So that's what that's about. Marine Corps Times, a few interesting studies. Marines lay out plans for gender integrating platoons at recruit training. The Marine Corps provided hints about its plan for gender integrating boot camp at the platoon level in a report to, now this was, the Marine Corps was told to do this as a part of the budget, right? In a report to Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services released in the September meeting notes, the Corps will first provide the required facility upgrades for gender integrated training, then will shift its focus on training a sufficient cadre of female drill instructors, according to, I don't get it, we already have them. The Marine Corps is the only service without fully integrated, gender integrated basic training, something that Congress required the Marine Corps to change in the 2020 National Defense Authorization Act. The Marine Corps Recruit Depot at Parris Island, South Carolina, has to integrate boot camp at the platoon level within 5 years, according to a law passed in December of 2019. The Marine Corps has never done gender-integrated training at the recruit depots at the platoon level. The Marine Corps will have 8 years to integrate boot camp at MCRD San Diego, where they currently only train male recruits. Modifications will have to be made at each installation in order to allow women and men to train side by side. The Marine Corps did not immediately provide answers about how far into the planning process it was or when upgrades are expected to be completed. Once the facilities are successfully upgraded, the Corps will start to train the increased number of drill instructors required to fully staff both recruit depots. With Parris Island having 128 female drill instructors, slightly surpassing its goal of 116, the Marine Corps currently is not facing a shortage of female drill instructors, a report says. But once female recruits start flooding in, and the San Diego Recruit Depot will have to quickly increase the total number of female drill instructors. So, not much more information, but again, just the Marine Corps has been told that ship has sailed. Another story, something we see constantly. The service have work to do when it comes to unconscious bias, the Secretary of Defense says. Mark Esper is in Hawaii. He had a discussion with troops about racial insensitivity in the military. The biggest issue they call out is the unintended discrimination and insensitivity they face from other service members. Quote, what they tell me is, for the most part, any type of bias that they experience has been mostly unconscious bias, he said. So that's the good news story. In other words, issues like microaggressions, for example, making an assumption or a generalization, or an ill-advised attempt at humor about someone based on their background are apparently more common than outright racist comments. But that doesn't mean that it's exclusively unconscious bias, he added. You know, some of it is conscious bias. Yeah, it's still confusing to me. So, again, I think where we're at with this is there's anecdotal evidence that there are racists among us, and they say stupid things, and they do stupid things. But as we talked about, get me to the point of institutional racism. And what you hear the Secretary of Defense saying is that that's not what he's hearing. Grown-up discussion on race, pretty important. At the military academies, COVID-19 is the enemy to be defeated. Now, this is by Lolita Baldor. Anyway, you know what I like about this headline? Is, look, man, it's just the next thing in your way. You don't get to pick them. The other thing that I heard that I mentioned was, you know, the barracks fight. Now, the barracks fight for discipline, the barracks fight for respect, the barracks fight in terms of isolation and destructive behavior like alcohol abuse, isolation that leads to suicide. That's the fight that you have right now. Now, that might not be the fight you want to fight, but that's the fight that's in front of you. So go fight it. Go win it. And so I like the way that it's framed. So anyway, that's what's going on at your service academies. That's the fight they're fighting, thankfully. Early bird. China plans to double its nuclear arsenal, according to the Pentagon. From Defense News, China plans to double its stockpile of nuclear warheads in the next decade, including those designed to be carried atop ballistic missiles that can reach the United States, the Pentagon said in a report that was released on Tuesday. So yeah, so you'll see more about that. And then here's another interesting story. What a war with China would look like. I'm curious about this. Pentagon war planners can envision a conflict with China starting in any number of ways. For example, they fear a scenario that might involve a mass of Chinese military forces posturing along China's coast near Taiwan and the aggressive reorientation of Chinese missile systems that would start setting off alarms in Washington, D.C. top military leaders in the Indo-Pacific Command would brace for reports of cyber attacks, satellites shutting down, vessels crowding and swarming various ships and ports across the South China Sea. More than a dozen experts contacted by Military Times described how this hypothetical nightmare could erupt fully, perhaps as Chinese missiles start hitting targets in Taiwan. A conflict could spin out of control quickly as sensors across the region light up with simultaneous events stretching the United States and its allies in every imaginable domain all at once. A Pentagon annual report on China released Tuesday noted that the military capabilities that the United States and its allies have to counter should such a scenario occur. So, you know what? We'll get into that because I'm interested in that subject. Number three, Fort Hood gets a new acting commander. We'll talk about that. Number four, U.S.-Russia military tensions intensify in the air and on the ground worldwide. This is Russian theater so that they can claim to be relevant on the planet while they poison people at home. So don't be deceived by it. They're on their ass. They've got an economy the size of Canada. They're going nowhere. All right. Number five, Marines lay out plans for gender-integrating boot camp at the platoon level. Well, they really didn't. But once again, Marine Corps Times writes deceiving headlines, so you'll click on that shit. And we do. Really what they said is, yeah, we've got to do some facilities construction, and then we've got to train more drill instructors. That's the plan so far. So we'll take a break. Chris Woodbridge going to join us here in a couple minutes. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, hour two. We'll talk to him about some of this stuff. So don't touch that dial. This fine program continues right after this brief message. And, somebody sent me an email. Mac, those are all new messages. I like them. Gary Sinise even. I know. How about that? So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.